Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we think about life, there are many things in life that potentially we can worry about. For example, we can worry about our health, our family, our finances, our relationships, our work situation, crime, war, the future, and even death. As we think about those things, they can make us anxious and they can easily overwhelm us. It happens with a lot of people in the world. It can even happen to us too as Bible-believing Christians. So how can we work through this? What can we do? Let's understand that God is inviting each one of us to stay in his peace. Now that is much easier said than done, but what I want to do here in this new brochure is I want to give you a way to be able to stay in God's peace. So this circle is what we're going to be focusing on. You can see it has six parts to it. The first part is the word know. I'm going to focus a lot on that today. Most of this sermon is on the topic of know. And the reason why I'm taking so much time with it, it's the foundation. If we don't have a good foundation, we can't build on it properly. So a lot of what I'm going to do is on the topic of know. And then we are going to get into the topic of remember. Next week, then, we'll pick up parts 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I want you to see how it's a natural flow through all six. And it's something that we can know and we can use over and over again. And God wants us to do what? He wants us to stay in his peace. Let's get into this topic of know. So this is step one here. In this section, I want to touch on three things. I want to say a little bit about the Bible real quick. I'm going to say a whole lot more about God. We need to know some certain things about him. Then I want to talk about perspective. If we have the wrong perspective, that's going to be a negative. So let's talk a little bit about perspective too in this section. So first of all, just a little bit on the Bible. You know these things already, but God has revealed himself to us in the Bible. Apart from the Bible, we're guessing about God. But through the Bible, though, we know a lot of important things about God. If you are not yet confident in the Bible, I encourage you to read again, or maybe even for the first time, go through the brochure, The Bible is True. When we know the Bible is true, our feelings are going to be telling us one thing. God's word is going to be telling us something else. And when we are confident that the Bible is the word of God, then we're going to be encouraged to go in that direction, to go against our feelings, which can be so powerful. Before we can trust him with our anxieties, we need to know more about the Almighty God. So in this section here, I want to talk about God's complete knowledge, God's complete control, God's making and sustaining work, and finally, God's great love for us. With a lot of the things I'm going to share here, I think you're probably pretty familiar with them already, but I want to bring them up again as a way to put them out there. Keep in mind now, we're building this very firm foundation that we'll build on a little bit in number two, and then we'll continue to build on it next week as we complete the circle. So with God's complete knowledge, think about this. We should know it, but it's good to think it through, though. God knows what has happened. So when we think about even creation, a lot of people debate what happened. God was there. God did it. God knows. God told us right here. It should be a no-brainer, but yet it's so much debated in the world today, isn't it? But God knows what has happened. God knows what is happening now. Like, we don't know what's going on in the Middle East. We don't even know what's going on at our own homes, but God knows all that's going on right this very moment, and God knows what will happen. God is very well aware. We are bound by time. We don't know, but God is not bound by time. God does know. Consider what It says here in Isaiah 46, I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. So God is not bound by time. God knows what is going to happen. Nothing catches God by surprise. Aren't we surprised all the time by different things? But nothing catches God by surprise. Therefore, what should we do? Because of who he is, we should rest in him. Let me give you some other reasons to do that. God's complete control. The Bible says here in Lamentations chapter 3, who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Think about that. So these huge things going on in the world and maybe being orchestrated by an evil dictator, can that evil dictator do what he wants to do apart from God permitting it to happen? He can't. So let's understand that when difficult things happen, it's not happening apart from God. God is in control of everything. Nothing is beyond God's knowledge or authority, even when we cannot understand. Oh, here's a situation. I don't know why God wasn't there. I don't know why God didn't somehow intervene and not let that happen. So sometimes we just can't understand, but let us know that God is in control. And again, let us rest in him. And then we come to this section called God's making and sustaining work. First of all, God created us. Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. Again, people want to debate all of that, but when we understand the greatness of God, we know the Bible is true, we should not be pulled in all these different directions on our origin. We should know God was there, God did it, God has told us in his word, and we should be firm on such things. And then another familiar passage here, Psalm 139, God knew us before we were born. Think about how awesome this is. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written the days that were ordained for me. So prior to us even being out of our mother's wombs, God knew every single day that we would live here on planet Earth. It is no surprise to God. Every moment of our lives depends on him, on God. I like this passage here in Acts 17. This is where Paul was in Athens there up on Mars Hill, and he ended up saying to the people, referring to God, in him we live and move and exist. So what else could we say there? Apart from God, we do not live, we cannot move, and we would not exist. God is connected to everything. How can people live their lives here on earth and say there is no God? Or even if they say there is a God, how can they live like completely disconnected from the God who made them and the God who is sustaining them? Many people are doing that, but we should be so thankful that God has opened our hearts and minds to understand about God through his word, to understand his great power, to understand that we exist, that we move, that we have life in him. These are wonderful, powerful, important things. And then here in Psalm 145, sometimes we think about this for a table prayer. God provides for all of his creation. It says in the psalm, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Think about the tiny insect and then go on to the greatest beast living on earth today. God is providing for all of them. And when you think about the people, some people actually trust in God. That's great. Many people do not. But what does God do? God provides for all of them. God is a great and good God. Even for us, are we like the good guys? Oh, we are so good. We go to church and we deserve for God to take care of us. Oh, no, that's not true. So we should be so thankful that we have clothes to wear. We have food to eat. We have a place to live. These are blessings that God wants us to understand to get the right perspective. We're not deserving, but because our God is so good, he showers us with all these undeserved blessings. Let us live with an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Think about this statement. The God who gave me life can be trusted with my life. We could even expand that a little bit. The God who gave me life, the God who is sustaining my life every moment of every day, that same God can be trusted with my life. So I want us to just know these things so well, and then we're going to come to a point here in this brochure where we want to trust everything into God's hands and know that he is capable of taking it all. It's going to be a burden that we have that we can give to him. We can give it to him with confidence. And then there are some important things coming next week, because we've probably all done it. We had a burden, we gave it to God, and then, oh, I have the burden back now. How did that happen? Well, we need to go through all six steps in order to learn how to keep these different anxieties from creeping back into our lives. That won't be this week, but we'll come to that next week. Another thing here in this step one on know, we come to God's great love for us. Think about this. Our greatest problem isn't anxiety. Our greatest problem is sin. But how many people in the world, though, are very anxious about something, and their whole focus is like on what they're anxious about, and they don't even realize that their much greater problem is sin? We could really say that the forces of evil are making us anxious and getting us focused on our anxiety in order to take us off the real problem of sin and God's real solution of salvation in Christ. Let's go through a couple passages here. So we have all sinned against the God who made us, but amazingly though, God sent his son to save us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. When we begin to think that through, so the greatness of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, God plans out our salvation. And then he says to his son, "Son, this is the plan. Here's what I want you to do." The son says, "Yes." The son comes down. He puts on flesh. Here he is, confined to a human body. Now he's living the life that God called us to live. He's living it in our place. He's being tempted in every way, but yet not even once is he falling into sin. He's doing exactly what God called us to do. And then near the end of his life, so horrible what happened. He wanted there to be some other solution, but there wasn't. And he was perfectly obedient to the Father, and he endured every bit of the horror of the arrest and the beatings and the trials and the crucifixion and the mockings and all these different things. He took it all for us and for our salvation. So it's a huge thing. Sometimes we don't think it through, but we have all that in John 3:16 and even more. John the Baptizer, these famous words, he pointed to Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So when we think about the Lamb of God, we should jump back about 1,500 years prior to the time of Christ, and we should think about the time of Moses and think about the first Passover and think about what God commanded with them taking a male lamb without blemish and keeping it for a certain number of of days, and then putting it to death without breaking a bone in its body, and then putting the blood on the frames of the doors. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over those homes, and I will not put to death the firstborn males in those homes. All of that was pointing to the ultimate Lamb of God. And then they were to celebrate that every year, all the way up to the time of Christ. Some of the people got it. Oh, this celebration is pointing to the Messiah. Probably many other people didn't get it. But certainly the Son of God, he understood what all that was about, and he understood that was pointing to what he would do for our salvation. And then here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we have this amazing trade. So it says, he made him. In other words, God the Father made God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. So here's the perfect Son of God. He's on the cross. So he takes our sin, and we receive from him by grace through faith. We receive from him great blessings. To think that through a little bit further, think about these great blessings. So Jesus received our sins. So when he was on the cross and sinless, God the Father put all of our sins on him. Now, when I say that, you're like, well, wait a minute, Pastor. He did that 2,000 years ago. I hadn't even sinned yet. But keep in mind, though, God knows the end from the beginning. So he knows every sin that we're ever going to commit. He was able to gather them up 2,000 years ago and put them on Jesus. So Jesus received our sins. So from me to him go my sins. What's coming from Christ back to me by grace through faith? What's coming to me is righteousness. That is what we need to be welcomed into heaven. So I can't generate it in any way. Christ did it for me. And then by grace through faith, I receive that precious gift, the thing I need the most. And then going a little bit further here, Jesus received our punishment. So think about it. We are the ones who did wrong. We're the ones who should have been punished. But rather, he took our sins, and then he was punished. He received the eternal punishment for all the things that we have done wrong. So what do we receive from him in return? We receive God's forgiveness. That is full forgiveness. We are so undeserving, but yet we have it in Christ. Doesn't that give us a great reason to live with an attitude of gratitude? And then we are the ones who deserve to die. We deserve eternal death or eternal punishment, but Jesus died the death that we should have died. He took our eternal punishment. And what do we receive from him? We receive the gift of eternal life. These are wonderful, amazing things. I have a little section coming up here in the brochure. It's on the topic of salvation. And in case someone was looking at the brochure and they're not yet in Christ, I wanted to put something in there. So I put a question in there. I'm asking people, do you know Jesus as Savior and Lord? What does that mean? In other words, are you sorry for your sins? Are you trusting in Jesus for heaven? And are you living for Jesus Christ? And then if anyone who would read the brochure, or even any one of you, if you're unsure in any way, if you need help in any way, please let me know. We can talk about it. God has all the answers in his word. So if you need help, let's talk. And then I'm kind of going beyond that topic already. So I'm saying, since God has already taken care of our sin and gifted us with eternal salvation, now we can go forward. Now we can trust him with every other problem as well. See, we had to establish this important foundation, but now that it has been established, now we're able to move forward to something else. Now, just before I get out of this first section here, I do want to talk real quick about the topic of perspective. So let us be always in harmony with the truth of the Bible. Then, when anxiety begins to take us over, it's so important that we remember these fundamental things. So nothing surprises God. Nothing is beyond God's control. God has our lives in his hands. The cross proves God's love for us. We are forgiven through Jesus, and we have God's gift of eternal life. I would venture to say that oftentimes when we are anxious about something, we are focused on the things that we are anxious about, and we are forgetting about these important fundamental blessings, these great blessings that we have from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not focus on what we're anxious about. Well, I'll give you the tools next week to be able to get rid of those anxieties. But even now, though, even between now and next week, let's focus on these super important things. When you think about the list here, because those things are so great, and because they are true in Christ, what should we know? Oh, God is taking care of the greatest, most important things. So don't we think he would also take care of the lesser, least important things? Think about it like that. God is taking care of this up here. So certainly all this stuff down here, he's going to help us with as well. Let us be confident in that. And then I have a statement here. Just before I get into number two, this is the final part of section one here. But I say, therefore, instead of allowing our circumstances to determine how we see God, let us use God's word to determine how we see our circumstances. So this is kind of the ultimate statement on perspective. Have you heard people say, and something bad happened, and then they're like looking at the circumstances and they're thinking, where was God? Why did this happen? And now because of those circumstances, they have this tainted view of God. So they're using the circumstances to understand God. Let's not do that. Rather, let us know a lot about God from his word, and then knowing a lot about God, may that help us then to have the right perspective on our circumstances. Number two here is real quick. The topic is remember. What's going on here? Now that we know more about God, we know more about the Bible, we know more about the topic of perspective, let's understand and apply the key verse that this whole brochure is based on. So it's based on this section in Philippians 4. We're picking up the end of verse 5, and we're going through verse 9. So it's a very short section in the Bible, but it's a really important one that if we can understand it properly and then put it into practice in our lives, what is that going to enable us to do? Well, like the title says, it will enable us to stay in God's peace. That is a blessed place to be. So the first part here of the text, at the end of verse 5, it says, the Lord is near. So think about it like this. Regarding the Lord, you may not see him, you may not feel his presence, your situation may seem overwhelming, but what should we keep in mind? The Lord who made you, loves you, redeemed you, and saved you through Jesus, he is near. So again, what are we doing there? We are holding on to the truth of the Bible a whole lot more than we are holding on to what we see and what we feel and what we are experiencing. Not so easy to do, but very important to proceed in that way. So what's the conclusion we can come to? When anxiety comes, remember, we are not alone. God is near. I almost don't want to stop here. I'm kind of leaving you hanging, but I want you to come back next week, though, and I'm going to do 3, 4, 5, and 6. That will give you the whole circle. That will give you an important tool to be able to stay in God's peace, and it will also equip you to be able to share it with someone else so they can have this great blessing of peace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for making us your holy children. We are so undeserving, and yet you have done it, and we thank you so much. We pray that you would help us in regard to this new brochure. Help us to learn these important things, to learn these 6 steps. Help us as we live day by day, whenever we need them, help us to put them into practice. And by your power and with your blessing, may you help us to stay in your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.